John chapter 9, if you'll go there, please. John chapter 9. Begin reading in verse 1, a very simple message this morning. But something we all need to be reminded of, and perhaps you're like me and my wife many years ago. Maybe you're here today, and you're not certain of your eternal destination. You can be sure today.
Praise the Lord.
If you want to. Amen. All right, beginning in verse 1, let's stand together. We'll read just 7 verses. There's so much to say here in this chapter, but I'm just going to take the first 7 verses and hopefully by God's grace give us some things that will be a help. Let's read responsively beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 9. I'll read verse 1. We'll read together verse 2 and read down to verse 7. Verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Amen.
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing."
Praise the Lord.
Can you imagine that?
Amen.
Put yourself in his shoes. Never saw things before. Now he sees. What a joy it was, I'm sure. Let's pray. Father, please bless the message. I need thee this morning. I ask for a fresh filling of thy spirit. Give us understanding of these simple truths that we see that parallel the great work that you do in this world. And Lord, again, please may your word have free course today. I pray you'd rebuke and bind the devil. And Lord, if there's someone here today that is not saved, that today they'd come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for the believer, that you'd work in our hearts as well. And perhaps someone here, Lord, is not where they ought to be spiritually. I pray you'd work in their hearts as well. So we ask your blessing. Recognize that without you, we can do nothing.
Amen.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Fanny Crosby was born on March 24th, 1820. Many of you know the story of Fanny Crosby, what happened to her, but please allow me to say it once again. Shortly after her birth, she became ill, and her parents called the family doctor. The doctor was away, so another man came, posing as a certified doctor, and he prescribed to the parents that they put hot mustard poultices on her eyes to treat them. These were kind of like compacts that you'd put on, and they listened to the doctors and put those things on this little 6-week-old baby's eyes, and it blinded her. It actually caused a callus to form over her eyes that was irreparable. And from 6 weeks old, for the rest of her life, Fanny Crosby would be blind. Her father died shortly after that, and her mother went to find work to try to help keep things going in the family financially. So Fanny ended up living with her Christian grandmother. Her Christian grandmother taught her many things, and it would be that Fanny would go on at the age of 30, much later, but a lot of the foundational things were laid. She trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior.
Praise the Lord.
She came to know the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Fanny Crosby would write more than 8,000 hymns that would be published in over 100 million copies.
Amen.
That was before the internet, before all the things we have today. She wrote hymns like, "To God be the glory." We sing that, "To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son."
Amen.
That's a Fanny Crosby hymn.
Praise
him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Fanny Crosby wrote that.
Amen.
"Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." Fanny Crosby penned those words. He hideth my soul by the cleft of the rock and near the cross, and many, many, many more were penned by Fanny Crosby. The Lord took her to heaven at the age of 94. In 1915, near the end of her life, a preacher once said this to her, "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." She replied by saying this at once without missing a beat. She said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind?" You say, "Wait a minute. Is that what she said?" That's what she said. She says, quote, "I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I had been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me." In other words, if it weren't for her blindness, she may have never gotten saved.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
She praised what God did in her life. You see, Fanny Crosby may have been physically blind, but she certainly wasn't spiritually blind. As a matter of fact, spiritually, she saw things crystal clear. Why is that? Because she knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. So I want to ask you this morning, are you seeing clearly?
Amen.
Do you see this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, there are many phrases and words that are used in the Bible to describe someone who is not saved. And by the way, as an unsaved person, we don't like to hear those phrases and words. We like to think we're okay. We like to think, hey, I'm all right with God. I'm a good person. I try to do the right thing. I try to pay my bills and raise my kids right. Why wouldn't God accept me? That's how many think. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible describes a lost person like this, dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. We're called children of wrath, strangers from the covenants of promise. Ephesians 2:12. We are called without God in Ephesians 2:12. Hey, you say, well, I believe in God. If you're not saved, then you are without God.
Amen.
You are without the true and living God. That is a fact of the Scripture. Sorry to shock you this morning, but that's the truth. Then there are words that the Bible uses, like the word lost. Think about that. The lost person, someone that's not saved, is deemed to be lost, as if someone that can't find their way. You may think, well, I'm finding my way just fine without the Lord. No, you're not.
Right.
You're not at all.
Amen.
This morning I'd like to consider the word blind. Blind. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. The Bible says you are spiritually blind.
Amen.
You may have 20/20 vision. You may go to the eye doctors and say, preacher, I don't wear glasses like you. I see just fine. Maybe physically, but spiritually, you're blind.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is someone that has blinded you, and that is the devil himself.
Amen.
He's the God of this world, and he blinds men to their lost condition. He doesn't want you to see it.
Amen.
I didn't see it for years. I believed in God. I thought I was fine. We had gone to church here and there, and more so when I was growing up. And I thought, well, I should be fine with God. I was blind.
Amen.
The good news is, like this man in this text, and like me, and like others that are sitting in this room, you can receive spiritual sight today.
Amen.
If you want it.
John
Newton put it well when describing his salvation. We sung it this morning. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see.
Amen.
I hope all of us leave here this morning seeing.
Amen. Right.
This morning I'd like to preach on the subject, if you like titles, A Blind Man Sees.
Amen.
A Blind Man Sees. Here in John chapter 9, we find the Lord Jesus Christ giving sight to a man that is blind from his birth. And no doubt what I'd like to do this morning is take this miracle and parallel it to the work that God does in our lives for salvation. Now we understand, if you read the text on, a lot's going to happen after this healing. In fact, the discussion's going to go on into chapter 10. But this man himself, spiritually speaking, is going to be saved in verse 38. But let's talk about this miracle and how it parallels salvation. Could we do that this morning? Because there are some vital spiritual truths that you and I are going to see from this miracle that shows what God does in this great and wonderful work of salvation. Let's see them this morning. I'd like to, for us to notice four things. Four things, yes, not three, that parallel salvation. Number one is this, and it's a long point as far as the phrasing of it, and that is the wonderful pursuit of Christ for mankind. May I say it again?
Amen.
One of the works we see of salvation is the wonderful pursuit of Christ for mankind. Notice verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, notice the phrase, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And Jesus Christ turned his attention to this man, and as you know, and we'll get into it a little later, we see that he heals this man, but notice that Jesus pursued him.
Amen.
Wasn't the other way around. Jesus had just preached. He had infuriated the Jews. They were so mad at him that they wanted to stone him. He was leaving the temple area, which he had been in since John chapter 7 and chapter 8, fleeing, if you will, from the stoning. And we read in verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Notice this man did not request a cure. He wasn't like some of the others in the Bible that said, hey, over here, help me, Jesus, thou son of David, help us. He didn't see him. He didn't call for him. Others did not bring Jesus Christ to him or vice versa. But Christ pursued him. You know, this reminds us something very important about the work of God in this world. I'm going to talk about that in point number two. But that is this, God is in the business of pursuing people. Can I say that again?
Praise the Lord.
God is in the business of pursuing people from the time of our birth. And may I say, bar none, you said he's not pursuing me. Oh, yes, he is.
Amen.
You may not recognize it yet. You may not realize it yet. You may be blind to it, if you will. But he is pursuing you from the time of our birth until our last breath upon this earth. God constantly pursues us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
First of all, number one, he pursues the lost.
Right.
You're here today and you're lost. He's pursuing you.
Absolutely.
For the Son of Man has come, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't ever forget that no man seeks after God,
Amen.
According to Romans 3:11.
Right.
None of us. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It is God that seeks after man.
Amen.
Imagine, he knows where you are today. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. And he is still pursuing you. If you're here today, this morning, just sitting here in this church service, the reason for it is because God's pursuing you.
Glory to God.
Amen. So that's not true. I just happened to walk in here today. No. It all goes back to the throne of God.
Amen.
He pursues the lost. You know, one of the greatest illustrations of this truth is found in Luke chapter 15. Would you turn there, please, with me? You know the story. It's a prodigal son and of the lost sheep and the lost silver and the lost son. And here the Lord Jesus Christ gives this parable to show mankind that no matter who you are, no matter where you are religiously, that God loves you and God is after you. Look at verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house. And notice the phrase, and seek diligently till she find it. She's seeking diligently. If you lost a $100 bill, you'd be seeking for it. Yesterday I was out on a visit and I was sitting on a couch somewhere. And unbeknownst to me, my cell phone slipped out of my pocket and went down into the couch. And I had no idea, and I went home, and I couldn't find my cell phone. Thank the Lord that my wife and I do that find my friends thing, and so I asked her, I said, where is it? And she showed me where it was. I needed to find that thing. I mean, I'm a pastor. What if an emergency happens? What if there's a need? What if something I have to run to? And what about if my wife wants to find me? Amen. Where are you, you know? I needed it. What did I do? I sought diligently for it. And that's what happens here. And notice, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So notice, God is seeking after people.
Amen.
He's seeking diligently, and when someone goes from being blind to seeing, hey, all heaven rejoices because they got their sight. He diligently seeks. He persistently seeks you. He determinedly seeks us. Why? So that you might be saved.
Amen.
That's why Christ came.
Praise the Lord.
What shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?
Amen.
See, if you're here and you're not saved, he's seeking you. But you know, he not only pursues the lost, number two, he pursues the backslidden.
Amen. Praise
you say, well, who are they? Well, quite possibly you and me.
Amen.
Are you everything you ought to be? Am I everything I ought to be? Someone answered it for me already. They said, nope.
Amen.
We're not. And so what happens in our Christian life quite often is we drift away from God. We get away from what we ought to be. And maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I am saved, so I guess God's not pursuing me. No, he still is.
Amen.
Because he pursues the backslidden. Maybe you are backslidden. Maybe you're not where you ought to be. Maybe you miss a lot of church. Maybe you're not reading your Bible and praying like you ought to. Maybe there's some great hypocrisy in your life.
Amen.
Maybe you're not interested in spiritual things like you ought to be.
Right.
Maybe there's something in your life that ought not to be there, or maybe there's something not in your life that ought to be there. And what is God doing now? He is pursuing you to be everything he wants you to be. He's after you. God, help us to recognize it.
Amen.
You say, why does he do that? Here's why. Because he loves us.
Amen.
Any parent understands if you see your child putting their hand in the flame, walking towards that wood stove in our house with the hand out, or walking out into the street, you say, no, wait, stop, don't go there, come back. What do? You pursue them. Why? Because you love them.
Amen.
That's what God does for us. He doesn't want one person to spend eternity in hell. He doesn't want one saved person to ruin their life. So what does he do? Day after day, night after night, moment after moment, he pursues us.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful thing.
Praise the Lord.
Can I ask you, will you respond to his pursuit this morning? You say, preacher, I just don't like the way you're delivering this thing. Well, maybe not. But would you listen to the voice of God? Would you recognize his wonderful pursuit of you? So we see, number one, the wonderful pursuit of Christ for mankind. I see another thing back in John chapter 9 and that helps us understand this work of salvation. That is this, the work of Christ in this world. The work of Christ in this world. When his disciples saw the blind man, they asked him a question. Jesus, again, is passing by in verse 2. Let me get there. I'm trying to flip there. And his disciples see this man sitting there, and they say something very interesting that helps me to realize that they didn't understand how God works in this world. Notice verse 2. Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice number one, the confusion of the disciples. That's a confusing thought. In other words, in their mind, the reason that this man that they were passing by was blind could be only one of two reasons, and that's it. Either his parents committed some sin that caused God to curse them and have a blind baby, or this man sinned that caused his blindness. That doesn't even make sense. How do you sin before you're born? They thought somebody did something really bad. That's not the case at all. You know, and that makes us wonder sometimes, why does God allow some things in this world? If we don't understand how God works, we're not going to understand what he does in this world.
Right.
And I understand that we don't understand everything, but we do understand this. Why does God allow suffering? Why did God allow this little boy, this blind man, to be blind from his birth? Can you imagine when the baby was handed to the mom and you could tell the baby couldn't see? And then as time progressed and he got older, they thought, well, maybe it's just the birth thing and he'll open his eyes and he'll see us, but he couldn't see. Why did that happen? You know, often we'll hear someone who wants to discount the Bible say this, if there is a God, then why is there so much suffering in this world? How many ever heard that?
Right.
probably most of us. You know, on the surface, that seems like a valid question. Why is there injustice? If there is a holy God, why is there injustice in this world? You say there isn't injustice. There is so. There sure is. Why does it seem like many ungodly people who don't care about the Lord, who don't care about the Bible, who don't care about even the laws of society, and live immoral lives, and it seems like they thrive and they prosper and they get rich, and there's no repercussions for their actions? Yet we see someone who's in church, knows and loves the Lord, and they're struggling, suffering. Why does that happen? Why would God allow a man like David Brainerd, who was a missionary to the Indians, who loved and served God, gave his life for the cause of Christ, why would he let him die at the age of 30? Why did Charles Haddon Spurgeon have such great difficulties with his health most of his life, and the Lord took him home at the age of 57? You'd think, why did he let him live to 100? He could have more of an effect in this world if he lived longer. That's how we think. Why would Robert Murray McChaney, the one who turned to Scotland upside down with the gospel, the great revivalist, die at 29 years old, just a few years into his ministry, while countless vile men of their lifetimes lived many years longer? You see, there was confusion in these disciples. They didn't understand. They didn't understand how God worked in this world.
Amen.
So how does Christ answer them? Which brings me to the second thing, and that is this, the clarification of Christ. Notice what he says in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In other words, it's not just two possibilities, he sinned or the parents sinned. There's a third. Christ said, there's another one you're not thinking of. There's another reason, and you're missing it. And by the way, most of us miss it as well. And that is, God allowed this. God caused this to happen. Why? Or allowed this to happen. Why? So that the power of God could be made manifest and that this man would be saved.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's how important it was to Christ.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
He would use this incident to display his power and to draw this man along with others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this man's blindness, God would be glorified.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And I wonder sometimes if we understand that. You see, quite often God allows troubles in our lives and brings heartaches in our lives as a way of reaching our hearts. There are countless people that are saved here, and I would say even so in this auditorium, that have been saved as a result of some tragedy that happened in your life. Either a loved one passed away, or some sickness, or something had happened, maybe a near accident, maybe something, and it woke you and I up spiritually, and because of that, we came to salvation in Christ. He does the same thing with the backslidden. He wants to wake us up. He allows things in our lives as we're going in a certain direction away from him, going our own way. He puts barriers and blockers to stop us from going that way. Why? To reach us. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you like it better than if he allowed you to keep going and the results of it. You see, tragedies and trials and difficulties and infirmities, they're God's way of humbling us, of softening our hearts, getting our attention and working in our lives. Why? So that he would bring us to himself and get glory from it. Can I ask you something? Which is better? A man who lives his entire life, let's say 90 years, with perfect sight. I mean, could see clear as a bell till the day of his death, yet he never got saved and he dies and goes to hell for all eternity. Or a man that God allows to be blind from birth, and God uses that blindness to open his eyes to the gospel, and he gets saved, and when he dies, he goes to heaven for all eternity. The answer is obvious.
Amen.
As to which is better.
Amen.
You see, this is one of the ways that God works in this world. He allows troubles to soften our hearts that we might be saved. Then there's a third thing, number 3. Not only the wonderful pursuit of Christ for mankind, And then the work of God in this world. Notice the wonder of Christ's healing. Christ does something here that no man has ever done before.
Amen.
Even he himself had done it yet to this point in his ministry. He heals a blind man from his birth.
Praise the Lord.
Now don't forget the purpose of the gospel is John. Look over at John chapter 20. Just hold your hand in John 9 because I want to show you. Why did John put this here, this miracle? Remember verse 30 of John chapter 20. And many other, what's that next word?
Signs
truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these, implication, antecedent of the pronoun, these signs are written, why? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, John throughout his book gives us signs that will not only declare to us who Jesus Christ is, but will provide everything we need to wholeheartedly believe on him to be saved. Jesus Christ does things that only he can do and no one else can. And by the way, it's the same with salvation.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You see, the Jews knew something. Well, they knew a lot of things. But they knew quite well that the healing of the blind is a work that only God can do. Psalm chapter 146 and verse 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. By the way, you look back at any person that ever walked the face of the earth, go look at the religious leaders. Go see them, the Charles Taze Russells of this world and the Joseph Smith Juniors and the Muhammads. Look at their lives. What do you find? You end up bankrupt.
Amen. That's right.
Nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They knew that only God healed the blind, and they also knew that when the Messiah came, this is exactly what he would do. Isaiah 35:5, describing the Messiah, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. So the healing of this man born blind is another testimony of the deity of Jesus Christ and that he is the only one that can provide salvation for man.
Hallelujah.
What a picture of salvation that
Praise
is. You know, the Jews and the Pharisees and the chief priests, and you'll see it as we go further on in this chapter. It's pretty interesting how they questioned this man after this healing. But I want you to think about something. They passed by this man every day. They saw this man all the time sitting there, and they walked by and looked at him and just wagged their heads. Why is that? Because he, in their mind, was an impossible case. They couldn't help this man. He was hopeless in their mind. There was nothing they could do to help him.
Right. Amen.
And by the way, that's what religion does, false religion.
Right.
But what they could not do, what false religion cannot do, Jesus Christ
Hallelujah.
Can do. Folks, false religion is not going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
It's helpless. It's hopeless. Doing the works of a religion, doing some ceremonial religious act, following the mass or whatever, doing those things is not going to save you.
Amen.
There's only one that can save a soul, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By the way, this church can't save you either. I laugh sometimes because people in their, babes in Christ don't understand certain things. They understand salvation. Sometimes they'll say, well, you saved me. They said, you saved me. And I said, I didn't save anybody. Amen. I couldn't save myself. I can't save nobody. I said, I pointed you to the Savior. That's what I may have done. But other than that, I'm bankrupt. I'm like everybody else. There's no other way to get saved, no other way to get your sins forgiven except through Jesus Christ. He did what only he could do. Oh, what a wonder it was of Christ's healing. And testimony after testimony are seated in this auditorium
Amen.
About the wonderful work that Jesus Christ did in our lives, giving us sight.
Amen.
Have you been healed, can I ask you?
Praise the Lord.
Can you see? Does this all make sense to you? Do you say, yes, I experienced that. I know the Lord as my Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I can give you a Bible reason for that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If that's true. If not, you can receive your sight today.
Amen.
And then there's one last point. We're done right here. Not only the wonderful pursuit of Christ for mankind. The work of God in this world and the wonder of Christ's healing. Lastly and fourthly, the willingness of the blind man. You know, the way Christ brought about this healing was unusual to say the least. Notice what he does in verse 6. We read that he spits on the ground and he makes clay out of the spittle and the earth, and he takes that and he anoints this man's eyes and tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam.
Amen.
Can I ask you something? What if that man didn't go? What if he said, I'm not doing anything that silly. You mean you're going to stick dirt on my eyes? I'm going to go wash in the pool that's right over there. It's been there all my life. And you're telling me if I just wash this dirt off my eyes, I'm going to see. He could have said, I'm not going.
Right.
May I say this? If he said that, then he wouldn't have been seeing.
Amen.
He wouldn't have experienced a miracle. He wouldn't have been able to see. He wouldn't say, yes, I see. But notice we don't see that. We see the willingness of this blind man. He did what Jesus Christ said. You know, the way of salvation is not the way most people think.
Amen.
You know, the natural man has the idea, well, I live a good life and I try to do the right thing and I live by the golden rule like we talked about in Sunday school. And, you know, I'm trying to be right. I'm not that bad. I'm not like X, Y, and Z over here and these folks. And so certainly God will accept me. That's the natural man's thought. Just the other day, we were seeing our 57 grandkids. I mean, our five grandkids. And I was reading something from a little devotional book they have, just kind of going through it briefly about sin. And one of the kids said, well, I'm going to heaven. And we said, well, why? And he said, well, I'm a good person. Isn't that funny how people naturally think that? I'm good. That's what the natural man thinks. If I just do certain things, if I just act a certain way, if I just do some religious acts, certainly I'm okay. It's not like that at all.
Amen.
Right. You see, the way of salvation is not like people think. And this man's healing didn't come about like people thought. It was something unusual. The way of salvation is so simple. In fact, sometimes it's so simple for people, they say, that's too easy. I don't believe it. It's a free gift.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is receive it. You have to recognize you're a sinner and lost and on your way to hell. You violated God's law and you deserve hell. But that Jesus Christ came and paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And if you simply repent of your sin and receive him as your personal Savior, that's how a man gets to see. The blindness is removed. So have you experienced that? You can today.
Amen.
You can experience spiritually what this man experienced physically and what he will experience later in verse 38 spiritually as well.
Amen.
You can be saved today.
Praise the Lord.
But watch this. You have to be willing to.
I've
met so many people that would sit in a church service like ours or hear the gospel from somebody, a friend or a loved one, or see it in the Bible, and they see exactly what the Bible says and understands that salvation is through Jesus Christ. But then when asked, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? They say something like this. Well, not now. Let me think about it. Maybe some other time. If you die without Christ, then you will spend an eternity in a place called hell.
Lord, have mercy.
But it's not God's fault.
That's right.
It's yours.
Amen.
He offers a free gift.
Praise
to
Lord.
Every single human being on the face of the earth. Praise free Lord. Forgiveness of sins.
Hallelujah.
And a home in heaven. But you have to come willingly to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And receive him as your Savior.
Praise
John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, I'll heal you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
If you're willing to come. So I asked you this morning, we're done right here. Are you blind? Or do you see? Do you know him as Savior?
Amen.
Or do you not? If you don't, Christ is here for you today, available to give you free sight.
Hallelujah.
But you have to come. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's pray together.